water containers, storage facilities for water. It includes generators, petrol containers, a whole lot of stuff that will hopefully get them up and running.
Getting aid to Tonga. It's Thursday, January 20th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, assessing President Biden's first year. Forecasting the global labor market. Hong Kong activists released. Studying Omicron severity. Turning cowbells into music. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Three of Tonga's smaller islands suffered serious damage from tsunami waves, officials and the Red Cross said Wednesday, as a wider picture begins to emerge of the destruction caused by the eruption of an undersea volcano near the Pacific Archipelago nation. Communications have been down throughout Tonga since the eruption on Saturday, but a ship made it to the outlying islands of Namuka, Mango, and Funafua on Wednesday and reported back that few homes remained standing. New Zealand Navy ships were carrying fresh water and other much-needed supplies to Tonga on Wednesday. Captain Simon Griffiths now.
Over the last 24 hours, we've worked together with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade and a whole lot of other agencies to bring together over seven containers worth of stores that will also be able to help them get up and running again. That includes water containers, storage facilities for water. It includes generators, petrol containers, a whole lot of stuff that will hopefully get them up and running.
Foreign Minister Nanaia Mahuta also pledged an initial $680,000 toward initial recovery efforts. In Australia, Navy ships were being loaded Wednesday with supplies for the people of its Pacific Island neighbor. Donations are also coming in by the carloads for shipment to Tonga, aiming to address specific needs of families. Konaseti Lutai of the Tonga Australia Chamber of Commerce.
We facilitate free containers for members of the public to send their what they want to give their families back in Tonga. Lydia, if you can understand, there are families in Tonga with multiple elderlies. Their need is quite specific. There are also disabled people that we help, the vision impairment, and also families with the disabled children have different needs than most of us do. So we know that the government of Tonga and Australia and New Zealand and other are addressing food and water. We're trying to be a little bit more specified for family requirements.
In its first update since the eruption, the Tongan government said Wednesday it has confirmed three deaths, two local residents and a British woman. Read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Indonesian militant gets 15 years in jail over Bali attacks. How China's national security law for Hong Kong could extend to Taiwan and beyond. U.S. experts laud Australia as bulwark against China. China urges Taliban to meet conditions for diplomatic recognition. Afghan acting PM urges world to recognize Taliban government. Find complete coverage on all these stories on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia on this Thursday. U.S. President Joe Biden is ending his first year in office with low approval ratings, largely due to an economic recovery dragged down by inflation and a pandemic that is surging yet again. This, despite reaching a bipartisan consensus to pass the $1.9 trillion stimulus plan and a $1 trillion infrastructure package. VOA Chief White House Correspondent Patsy Wiedekuswara has this recap.
A $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package pushed through by the Biden administration in March has helped American businesses and families weather the financial impact of the pandemic. The package sent $1,400 in stimulus funding to millions of Americans and monthly payments that have proven successful in reducing poverty. But for many, rising inflation has minimized the impact of that assistance.
Due to the COVID, people don't have money. We're just starting back to work and stuff like this. This is outrageous with the prices of the gas today.
Consumer prices in December were 7% higher than those of the year ago period, marking the highest inflation rate in 40 years. Inflation has dampened economic recovery in a year that the administration says has shown the biggest job growth in American history. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
Look at the initial unemployment claims. They're on average, they were at 812,000 a year ago. They're now at 210,000. The unemployment rate and obviously job creation the year before the president took office and the last year. As it relates to COVID, if we look to a year ago, only 1% of adults were fully vaccinated. 74% of adults are fully vaccinated now.
A relatively smooth rollout of COVID-19 vaccines has offered protection to more than 200 million Americans and even provided a brief return to normalcy last year. That is, until Omicron caused cases and hospitalizations to spike yet again. The pandemic and inflation have been two major factors in President Joe Biden's sinking approval ratings at the end of his first year, around 45% according to Ipsos, a market research firm. Mallory Newell, Vice President of Public Affairs at Ipsos via Skype.
The president campaigned on eradicating COVID and getting the economy and getting America back to normal. And the longer that the pandemic goes on, the more uncertainty Americans have, and frankly, the more frustration they feel about the fact that they're still dealing with the pandemic.
Meanwhile, Biden's legislative agenda is also a mixed bag. He pushed through a $1 trillion infrastructure law with Republican support, the biggest investment in the nation's public works in a generation. But he has yet to pass Build Back Better, his $1.75 trillion social spending and climate change plan, even though it has already been cut in half from its original size. Other legislative agenda items remain stuck. Two voting rights bills that would greatly expand federal control over elections are stalled in the Senate due to Republican opposition. Some analysts say the administration and Democrats need to reset their agenda. Kevin Kosar, senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute via Skype.
They have to ask themselves, realizing that Republicans are going to have very little interest in playing ball on high salience issues, what are the smaller things that they can work on that might build up over time and kind of change the narrative from, hey, this guy came in and took big swings at the plate and whiffed, to, hey, this guy showed up and he hit a lot of singles.
And despite Biden's promise to heal a divided nation, Americans are still deeply polarized following the Capitol siege by supporters of Donald Trump on January 6, 2021. Polls suggest most Republicans still believe the baseless claim pushed by the former president that the 2020 election was stolen. Patsy Wida Kuswara, VOA News, Washington.
Still to come on VOA Asia, assessing the global labor market in 2022. Happening now in Asia, Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida announced that 13 areas will face new coronavirus-related restrictions for 3 weeks starting on Friday, as Omicron cases hit a record high level in the capital, Tokyo. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. A new assessment of the global labor market finds that recovery from the employment crisis created by the COVID-19 pandemic will be fragile and will worsen inequalities between rich and poor countries. The projection comes in a new report from the United Nations International Labor Organization. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
ILO economists say labor markets are recovering from the pandemic-induced crisis much more slowly than previously expected. They project the number of global working hours this year will be 1.8% below the numbers of pre-pandemic hours worked in the last quarter of 2019. That deficit, they say, is equivalent to a loss of 52 million full-time jobs, twice as large as the number predicted in last year's Global Market Survey. ILO Director General Guy Ryder says this shortfall in the labor supply comes on top of persistently high pre-crisis levels of unemployment.
In 2022, we project that global unemployment will stand at 207 million, and that's 20 million above the pre-pandemic level in 2019. Put in percentage terms, we expect the 2022 unemployment rate to be 5.9%.
The report finds a great divergence in recovery between regions. It says the European and North American regions are showing encouraging signs of recovery. The worst affected regions are Southeast Asia, Latin America, and the Caribbean. Ryder says the richer countries are expected to emerge from this crisis in better shape than the poorer countries. He says a big gap exists between the labor market prospects of countries depending on their level of income and development.
Many low and middle income economies are struggling to get back to pre-pandemic levels of employment and of job quality. And insufficient access to vaccines is putting pressure on their healthcare systems, with tight fiscal space limiting the ability of their governments to use stimulus measures to support their labor markets.
Ryder says the International Labor Organization has not taken a policy position on the legitimacy or otherwise of vaccination mandates in the workplace. He says a fundamental problem facing work sites is the unequal access to vaccines. For him, he says, the bottom line is to ensure that people are able to work in healthy, safe environments. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news alert from VOA Asia. China reported the lowest daily count of local confirmed coronavirus infections in 2 weeks on Wednesday after cities sealed areas of virus risk, quarantined infection cases, and conducted mass testing, state television reported. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Welcome back to VOA Asia. Hong Kong officials say activist Edward Leung has been released from prison. A spokeswoman for the Hong Kong Correctional Services Department told reporters outside Shek Pik Prison on Hong Kong's Lantau Island that Leung was released around 3 a.m. Wednesday. He was jailed in 2018 for offenses related to clashes in 2016. His early release for good behavior was expected on Wednesday. Leung inspired strong support for ideas about Hong Kong's individual identity and autonomy, which China's Communist Party does not tolerate. He popularized the phrase "Liberate Hong Kong, Revolution of Our Times," which was prominent during protests in 2019. Cambodia resumed the treason trial of banned opposition party leader Kem Sokha on Wednesday after a 2-year delay due to the pandemic, in a case the United States has condemned as politically motivated. Kem Sokha spoke briefly before leaving his home for court.
I hope that it will drop my case today for Cambodia, continue for the national reconciliation.
Sokha was arrested in 2017 and his opposition Cambodia National Rescue Party was banned ahead of a 2018 election that was swept by the Cambodian People's Party of Prime Minister Hun Sen. Sokha was freed from house arrest in 2019, but remains barred from political activities. The treason charges stem from accusations he was conspiring with the United States to overthrow self-styled strongman Hun Sen, who has ruled Cambodia for nearly 4 decades. Sokha denies the charges, and the United States has dismissed the allegations as fabricated conspiracy theories. Sokha's opposition party has been decimated, with many of its members arrested or fleeing into exile in what activists say is a sweeping crackdown designed to thwart challenges to the ruling CPP's power monopoly. Making headlines in Asia, human rights lawyer Xie Yang has been detained in China on suspicion of inciting state subversion, according to an official notice obtained by his wife, weeks after he spoke out for a hospitalized teacher. Xie disappeared last week in Changsha City, Hunan Province. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. A South African study has found the Omicron variant of COVID-19 is less severe than previous ones, even for the unvaccinated. Scientists say this could be good news for bringing an end to the pandemic worldwide, as the highly contagious variant also spreads resistance. Linda Givtash reports for VOA from Johannesburg.
South Africans no longer have to race to get home before midnight. A curfew imposed at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic was finally scrapped ahead of New Year's Eve. Now, Dr. Marianne Davies, a professor of epidemiology at the University of Cape Town, says there's more good news about the latest coronavirus variant, Omicron.
We see about a 25% lowering of the risk of death, so about 1.3 times lower risk of death. And so that makes us think that residual effect, that 25% reduction, could be the true effect due to lower virulence of the Omicron compared to previous variants.
So that reduction is compared to the previous Delta variant, which was more severe than the original virus. The study, which has yet to be peer-reviewed, found Omicron to be similar in severity to the first wave. Davy says a major difference now is that prior infections and vaccinations help reduce hospitalizations and deaths. While Omicron evaded vaccines and reinfected people, Dr. Shabir Madi, a professor of vaccinology at the University of the Witwatersrand, says that's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's going to boost immune responses in people that were previously infected. It's going to boost immune responses in people that have been vaccinated. And it will also result in further immunity in people that haven't been previously infected or vaccinated up until now. The data is quite compelling that people that have this hybrid immunity, vaccine together with infection, in fact, they probably got a better immune response.
Scientists emphasize getting the virus is no substitute for a vaccine. Death rates remain highest among people who aren't inoculated. Official government figures say over 93,000 lives have been lost. Davies says getting sick has other consequences.
But even a mild variant can cause a lot of chaos for a health service for a number of reasons. The one is with these very high transmission rates. You get a lot of people infected at any one time, and that includes healthcare workers. And so that means that you've got a lot of people who are off work and often their contacts needing to be quarantined, and that can have huge impacts.
Still, the promise of less stringent protocols is welcome to businesses hurting from nearly 2 years of curfews and lockdowns. Alex Zabo is the owner of the Antisocial Club, a bar and restaurant in Johannesburg.
There was a big conversational point on the 28th of December, where do we stay closed or do we reopen? And the reason we reopened was these extra 3 hours. We do believe that there has to be a brighter day coming.
Whether increased immunity amid fewer restrictions will be enough to ward off the worst effects of the coronavirus will be tested by future variants. Linda Giftash for VOA News, Johannesburg.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA and NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, have each released their independent global temperature analysis for 2021. Both reports indicate that the past year continues a planet-warming trend that has made the last 8 years the warmest since records were first kept in 1880. While not as warm as the previous 2 years, 2021 was still tied with 2018 as the sixth highest temperature on record. According to the two reports, the global temperature for the past year was 0.84 degrees Celsius higher than the 20th century average and about 1.1 degrees Celsius above the late 19th century. The previous NASA analysis for 2020 showed that the temperature increase tied with the record high set in 2016. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
SpaceX confirmed on Twitter that it has successfully deployed dozens of satellites. A SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket launched from the Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral, Florida on Tuesday night, carrying the latest batch of 49 Starlink satellites for the company's Internet Satellite Constellation System. The private company uses reusable rockets to transport cargo into space and even takes humans to the International Space Station. Finally, on VOA Asia, more than two decades ago, Natalia Peruz was hit by a car in New York. While recovering from the accident, she went to Austria where she saw bells on necks of cows. And that simple vision prompted a huge change in her life. Anna Nelson has the story for VOA, narrated by Anna Rice.
Bells are magical to me. The shape is like a dress. It's just visually like magic. The more I researched, the more I was fascinated. I have about 700 bells in my collection.
Natalia Peruz is a New York-based musical soul and bell player and busker. The recipient of multiple musical awards, Peruz doesn't shy away from playing on the streets and is always glad to talk about her bell collection.
Elephant bell. Bicycle bells. The whole story started from these bells, which I collected from tourist stores in Austria.
Peruz used to be a dancer. She interned at the Martha Graham Dance Company and was sure her future would be connected to dance. But everything changed in a split second. She got hit by a car on a New York street as she was making her way home after dance practice. She was badly hurt, both physically and emotionally. The prospect of dancing professionally started to feel very distant and unrealistic. In an attempt to cheer Peruz up, her parents took her on a trip to Austria.
While in Austria, we rented a car, and we were driving, and through the open windows of the cars, I could hear the sound of bells. So I said to my father as a joke, all these different cowherds, they have different pitches of bells. Wouldn't it be fun to collect a whole octave of these cowbells and play them?
Peruz just knew she had to learn how to play the bells. She never had teachers. She read old books, studied old photographs, and used her imagination to do the rest of her learning.
Cowbell ringing is primarily Austrian and Swiss. Possibly you can also find it in France. But anywhere else in the world, these particular brand of cowbells, they're really just in those countries. Possibly there may be some ringer here or there in other countries, like I'm in New York.
Ringing cowbells is hard work. The musician stands in front of an 8 feet long table and constantly moves from one end to the other, ringing the various bells in front of him or her. Peruz says there's a certain choreography to that, a certain dance-like structure, making it physically quite demanding. In New York, she has been the only solo bell ringer.
Ernest Hemingway wrote, "For whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." Oh, I think the bell tolls for everybody. All of us. There's no escaping the bells.
For Anna Nelson in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook. That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia. Make sure you find us on all our social media platforms. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Cascao in Washington. Enjoy the day, stay safe, and be well.